That's the victory growl.
So we've been talking almost exclusively about the softball game. How was Keyshawn's birthday party?
Let me tell you something. You want to go to a birthday party, you want to go to Keyshawn's. It was unbelievable. Now, first of all, the food was spectacular. There was soul food.
Yeah.
There was a wood-fired pizza oven, and the pizza was unbelievable. And then Jorge's dad did an unbelievable job. Describe what your dad was catering with, Jorge.
They brought chicken, beef, and shrimp tacos. That's what Key had requested.
Yep.
But the funny story is, Keyshawn calls me. Last week on Friday, he says, hey, man, the taco man I was supposed to hire is not getting back to me. Can your dad be on deck?
So, in other words, it was a last-minute thing?
It was a last-minute thing. Okay. Mind you, my dad does it for our parties.
Yeah.
Just at home. Doesn't do it.
Did your dad physically go to the party?
Yeah, yeah. So, then I'm like, let me ask my dad. My dad says, absolutely, let's do it.
And
then he ended up doing it.
It was great.
It's a nice save by your dad.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Travis Rogers face down in tacos on Saturday.
That is not surprising.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Yeah. And it was fun. There was a room with party favors. Enjoyed those. The bar was probably, from this wall all the way to where Bergman is, was the length of the bar. It was
beautiful.
It was incredible. And a lot of people were out there. Who we see? We saw LZ Granderson. Haven't seen LZ in a long time. Saw Coach Dave Miller. His lovely wife Elaine was there.
Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, the former Chargers head coach.
Who Marcellus else? Made an appearance.
I missed Marcellus. Marcellus was there?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I missed Marcellus.
Did you ghost out of there early?
I didn't ghost out of there. I said, I'm about to leave. If anybody wants pictures, let's do them right now.
Was that like 5 minutes after you got there?
No, I was there for 2 hours.
At one point, I go to Mason. I'm like, hey, how you feeling? He's like, on a scale from one to, I'm like, you're pretty good. If you don't know the rate of the scale, you're pretty good.
Yeah, I was rocked by the time I left Keyshawn's party.
All right, now, I'm gonna ask you this on the air, Jorge, because it had so many four-letter words in it. Mm-hmm. This LeBron thing we're about to play, you bleeped all the four-letter words, right?
I handled it. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah,
Funch?
Got it. Funch
did. Okay.
There were probably, what, seven or eight?
Seven or eight, yes.
All right, so this is from the shop. And, you know, the barbershop thing that that LeBron hosts on HBO. And they were talking about, the other voice you'll hear is his friend Maverick Carter. They were talking about playing in Boston.
Basketball, their fans, that you go play a way that they can literally take the game from you, you can feel like, damn, the fans is not going to let us win this one tonight.
Yes, I mean.
What places?
I mean, Boston.
Boston, yeah.
Why do you hate Boston?
Because they racist as f***. That's why. They will say anything, and it's fine. I mean, f*** my life. I mean, shit, I've been dealing with it my whole life. I don't mind it. Like, I hear it. Like, if I hear somebody, like, close by, I check them real quick. I move on to the game, whatever the f***. They're going to say whatever the f*** they want to say. They might throw something on you. I mean, I got a beer thrown on me leaving the game. You know, like, Boston.
It's the only place in the NBA in America you go and they have, like, shirts that say, like, F*** LeBron.
Yeah,
like,
it was like
a whole
section. It was like a LBJ t-shirt. I believe they probably sold it at the team shop.
No, they sold it outside the arena.
No, they sold it at the team shop. I'm going to get Celtics has something to do with that
F*** Boston.
All right, so I've said this many times on the show. It's hard to put into words the setup in what is now called the TD North Garden, the new Boston Garden, which is right around the corner from where the old Boston Garden was. Mace, it is rows and rows of bars right outside the building.
Right, right.
It's a train station.
Yes.
Okay, so like people congregate there, and while you're waiting for your train, you can go over.
Is it close to Fenway? Because Fenway has the same setup with all kinds of bars and stuff.
Right, but Fenway is more like a neighborhood. This is more bars.
Okay, got it.
These are just a lot. And so there's nothing like beating the Celtics in Boston.
Right.
That's why all the things that LeBron was just describing, I think, makes that an even better experience. And in the NBA Finals, those games start at 9:15 Eastern. So people start showing up in the bars when they get off work, 5, 6 o'clock, and just get hammered. And so there's nothing like beating the Celtics in the playoffs because the fans are drunk, they're belligerent. All that stuff LeBron just said is true.
Are they racist as F?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
Is that the city of Boston? Is that just those fans?
The city of Boston's been that way for years. I mean, even Bill Russell, who's one of their favorite
sons,
has always said that. You were gone one day, and I can't remember, Greg, you might remember. I can't remember who I was working with, and we called Torrey Hunter. And Torrey Hunter, who was the great outfielder for the Twins
and
the Angels.
And a great interview, yeah.
put it in his contract that he could not be traded to Boston because they were so racist.
Wow.
He said that he would stand in the outfield. And we called him and said, how bad was it? He goes, I would stand in the outfield and the fans behind me would yell the N-word at me. And
do you think it's still like that?
This was 5 years ago.
Don't you think somebody should do something about that?
Well, apparently a bunch of the Boston sports writers have said what LeBron says is not untrue, but it's improving. So apparently now they have cleaned up some of it. But I just like it because, I mean, I don't like anybody being...
Right. I mean, I honestly, if you're yelling racist stuff, you should really be booted from the arena.
And hopefully there's an avenue to do that now. But there is nothing like shutting those guys up.
Yeah.
If you beat them... matter of fact, last time I didn't want to wait for the... We were spending the night there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to wait for the team bus.
Yep.
So the train station's right there. So Michael and I went and hopped on the train. And so everybody recognized us and were talking to us. And they're like... They hate the Lakers.
Yep.
And if they lose, they're just they're despondent.
Right.
I mean, it's just there's nothing like shutting those guys
up. Let me
up.
Tell you something. I hate Boston. I hate the city. I don't
like the city.
I hate the city. I hate the city. I spent when I was there for the World Series, it was brutal. It was just first of all, it was cold, it was windy. The ballpark is way overrated. We lost. That definitely colors everything. Same thing as at the Super Bowl when I went to Atlanta and the Rams got beat by the Patriots. Just I've grown to despise everything about Boston. And this just adds another log to that fire that they're racist as F, according to LeBron.
All right.
According to Chris Haynes, Los Angeles Lakers' big three of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook huddled for a phone conversation to confirm their commitment to each other through the uncertainty, league sources told Yahoo Sports.
All right, so that would seem to indicate that they've accepted the fact that Kyrie's staying in Brooklyn.
That this is it.
Yeah. So that's very interesting to me. Although, because everybody made a huge deal last week at that one game, LeBron...
Where they didn't speak.
Yeah, well, they didn't speak in public. They may have ran into each other in the tunnel, but they didn't... They did not.
They didn't have a public conversation.
Publicly.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm reading a tweet, Greg.
Yes.
From an MLB Network contributor named Anthony Castrovince.
Okay, I've heard of him.
Okay.
Yep.
He says... It's officially official. Should the All-Star game be tied after 9 innings, the game will be settled via a home run derby.
Good.
Each manager will select 3 batters to participate, and each batter will get 3 swings. The team with the highest total after the 3 rounds wins. Now, does that apply to tomorrow night?
Yes,
yeah,
tomorrow night.
It applies to tomorrow night's game. Yeah. You almost makes you root for a tie.
I had the exact same thought.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, bring that on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great
They should settle regular season ties like this.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the Justin Turner thing. That's how he wants it.
Yeah, that would keep games from going 16 innings.
Yeah, no.
Well, so now I am rooting for a tie.
I don't think we have games with the new system. Do we have what's the longest game we've had? It's probably no more than 12 or 13 innings.
Yeah, I think one went 14, but that was it.
Yeah, I mean, generally they wrap up pretty quick. Okay, so that Chris Haynes tweet is interesting. The Lakers' big three of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook huddled for a phone conversation to confirm their commitment to each other through the uncertainty, league sources told Yahoo Sports. Now, I don't think that means that Russell Westbrook's going to be here this year. That just means they're preparing for it.
I think that's fair. Because nobody knows. You never know when your phone's going to ring.
No, and especially stuff like Woj. Actually, let's play this Woj thing. This is what Woj said this morning on Get Up about the Lakers. It's kind of contrary to what this tweet says.
I think the Lakers will make a deal, maybe more than one deal. Now, it may not be for Kyrie Irving. It may not be for an all-NBA player, an all-star. But players like Eric Gordon in Houston, Buddy Hield in Indiana, there's players like Patrick Beverley who came to the Jazz in a trade from Minnesota who are role players on winning teams. What is the price for those kind of moves? I think they're going to continue to be active in all those things. It's not completely dead with Brooklyn, but I think so much depends on what happens with Kevin Durant. The Nets are more focused. They are focused on trying to find a deal for KD before they would even, I think, move Kyrie Irving. And I think there's a good chance that Kyrie Irving is back in Brooklyn to start the season if Kevin Durant is back in Brooklyn. But I don't think the Lakers are done.
He doesn't think the Lakers are done. And he suggested, he threw out some names, Buddy Hield, Pat Beverly, Eric Gordon, some of the, Buddy Hield, I guess I said Buddy Hield, some other players out there besides Kyrie, but he does not believe the Lakers are done. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a Westbrook trade. Could be a smaller trade. Could be a lesser deal.
I don't see any of those teams taking on the Westbrook contract for, like, Aaron Gordon or Buddy Hield.
But isn't it a great way to clear, if you're not going to win, clear $47 million against the cap for next year?
Yeah, and in particular, if you want to sign a free agent next season.
Right.
It gives you that cap space. But I know nobody likes to hear this one. You're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I think the Kyrie thing presents itself, you take it. If it doesn't present itself, you just roll with what you got.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, little update from Zach Wilson's mom. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah, we got a little update from her.
Oh, I love this story.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Beto Dran joined us earlier. He was the most valuable player of our 7-10 All-Star game on Friday night. And I just got confirmation from Tommy Lamb, who is our vice president of fun and games. This is the first annual softball game. There will be. We will run it back next year. So next year we'll have the Mandy Awards and we'll have the softball game as a regular every year kind of thing.
And like Amanda said, it will always be on the Friday before the All-Star game.
Before the All-Star game, exactly. It's perfect. It's perfect.
So can you make it next year, Ireland?
Yeah.
Well, that's always when my birthday is.
It is.
So you've got to cut a deal with my wife.
You never work on your birthday?
I try not to. We're going to Italy next year.
Ooh.
So I don't know if that's when we'll be there, but that's the big trip we're taking next year.
Right, right.
So we'll see.
It was just a really cool event. And I think even more people were there and came through than at the Mandy Awards, which was a gigantic event. So everybody here who planned it and worked on it and everybody did a great job, and it was a blast. All right, so, John, this is your favorite story. Lisa Wilson is Zach Wilson's mom.
Yep.
So everybody knows now that Zach Wilson's girlfriend outed Zach as having dated or having been with.
I don't know if you'd call it dating.
Been with Lisa Wilson, his mom's friend.
Right. Okay?
We don't know which friend.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It's the most unresolved question on the internet.
It doesn't matter at this point.
It doesn't matter at this point. Now,
people have gone down the rabbit hole, left, right, and sideways, trying to find pictures and the identity of the friend that Zach Wilson supposedly slept with.
So here's Lisa Wilson in an Instagram post with a very, very attractive friend of hers.
All right, it is Friday. We've all worked very hard, and so we thought that we needed to come and get some goods. This is my cute friend, Suzette.
Hi.
She has bijou.
I got sweaty at her dance class, too.
Yep, she came all and sweaty. Shook it with me today, and sure I said, did. Look at all these cute necklaces. I must come.
Yes, yes, yes. You have all
and
these
And just
ones,
so you
Lisa.
Know, no. Okay, the people questioning, so, no. Shut up.
No, 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 no.
Shut up. I have good friends. You guys are idiots.
Well, you know, until this person is identified, they're going to assume every one of her friends is the one.
Right, and at this point, Lisa Wilson, Zach's mom, is totally in on the joke. She's sending out Instagram videos with friends of hers that are not the friend that actually hooked up with her kid.
Yeah.
So she's now trolling all of us. I anticipate we're going to see many videos of many friends of hers, and she will say none of them is
the
one.
Yeah, she'll always refuse to admit who it is. But it'll probably come out one day.
Someday we will find out.
Yeah, depending on what, you know, and the one part of this story that to me is undercovered is that
one way to put it.
The girlfriend is now with his former roommate and leading receiver at BYU, who's a wide receiver now for the Washington Commanders.
Really?
Yeah. So these guys were best friends in college. They were roommates.
So now the girlfriend jumped to the roommate.
Yeah, and she was accused of homie hopping.
And Zach Wilson jumped to his mom's friend.
And when she was accused of homie hopping, she wrote, "Well, if there's anyone homie hopping, it's Zach. Ask him about hooking up with his mom's best friend." And now she now has deleted all of her social media.
Wow.
Now, did you ever, as a young John Ireland,
yes,
meet up with an older woman? Was there ever a cougar in John
Ireland's
life?
Not like this. Not like Zach Wilson's 22.
Yeah, you never had an older woman.
Not anyone in their 40s.
The ropes.
No. No Mrs. Robinson scenarios for me. How about you? Because back then you were dating women, right?
I was dating women. I did not have any older women. In fact, I always, and I think you too probably, I always dated people that were a little younger than me. Lisa's younger than you, right?
Oh, God, yeah. But more mature.
Yeah, Lisa is how old?
6 years younger.
And Juan is 10 years younger.
So good work by
so
you.
I guess I'm Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, there you go.
Guess that's what that makes me.
Does the mom still talk to the best friend or no?
It's a very good question. She doesn't seem to be bothered by this at all.
Okay.
That's
why I asked.
She wouldn't be out here joking
very,
around.
Like,
yeah.
Cool about it. Like, hey, okay, we're still friends.
She's into it. I'm sure the New York Post is having a friggin' field day with this stuff. And I think they're just feeding the machine at this point. All right, John, this is a kid who we need as a hype man. I like this kid. This is an Indiana high school football player. Of course, high school football is actually going to kick off before college football for the most part. A lot of programs are getting in their two-a-days right now. So this kid is from Bishop Lures High School, home to 11 Indiana State football championships, and he takes his football very seriously. He did an interview. His name is Nelson Knapp. He's a senior at Bishop Lures High School. Here he is, one of the best hype men that you're going to hear.
Running backs, we got Aiden Dennis. I'll just talk about the running backs. We got Aiden Dennis, dog. Doty Devon, dog. Sir Hale, dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside. RJ Hogue, dog. Sam Cale, I didn't even know he played running back, but he's a dog. Evan Linker, man. He's a linebacker in my eyes, but I guess he can run the ball. Dog. And then Quentin Roach, he plays baseball, but he gets after it. All SAC first team baseball player right there, and now he's out here playing football. You know, how about that?
He's a dog.
Quentin Roach is a dog. Absolutely.
There you go. So everybody's dog. A dog.
Everyone's a dog.
Bergman, he's a dog.
Dog.
Jorge, he's a dog. Ireland, he's a big dog.
Now, is dog in this case is a term of endearment? Like,
yeah.
Like if you talk about, I was talking to Lisa last night about
somebody who's a dog.
No, somebody. It's also a term used for a guy who cheats.
Sure, dogging around.
No, a guy who cheats. Like, so if a guy's married, but
he's a dog.
He's sleeping around. You just say, well, that guy's just a dog.
Nasty perro.
Yeah.
Like that guy says.
350 nasty perro.
Nasty perro.
But we always talk about, like, guys who are dirty dog defenders.
Right.
Right? A guy who's
That's when you use it.
Like,
it's positively.
Patrick Beverly is a dirty dog defender.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that kid. I like that kid. He's into it. All right, John, take it away. I'm out of stuff.
Okay, so have you exchanged any type of communication with Bryan Cranston in the last 48 hours?
I did text with him, yes.
All right, so was that after he got drilled in the chest? Did you hear about this?
I heard about it. I texted with him yesterday. So he got drilled in the chest.
You know who did the drilling?
It was Anthony Ramos from In the Heights.
Right. And was that in the batting cage and Brian was pitching and Ramos hit. Somebody just sent us a video of
it, by the way.
And Ramos hit a line drive and just drilled Brian. Now, Brian looks like, at this point, he looks like David Letterman.
Correct. He's got a gigantic beard for a role he's doing right now.
But Ramos almost took one of our greatest living actors. And I mean, Brian is like doubled over in pain, but he survived it.
And amazingly, he played.
Right.
He went on to play in the game.
In the celebrity game.
Yeah. So he did great. Yeah. He had a, he had an exciting time. He wanted to get back in the game. He said originally he might just be a cheerleader, but he did get into the game and played okay. Yeah, that was a cool event. I didn't get a chance. Did you get a chance to see it?
No, it hasn't aired yet.
Oh, it hasn't.
It was played on Saturday, but it airs tonight in some way.
Oh, okay, cool.
Form.
Yeah, I'll look for that. Bryan Cranston. We won't see it, but I just saw the video. I'll retweet it. Anthony Ramos just drilling Cranston on a comebacker. Ouch. Ouch.
So, but do you know what the role is? Is Bryan saying what the role is?
I'm not supposed to say what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm not supposed to say.
I played in the media game out there one year that was really fun. But the Hollywood Stars game used to be a very big night, and then they just stopped getting all the big names. Like back in the 60s and 70s, like Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis and all those guys played on Hollywood Stars night.
Right.
I guess Rob Lowe played in this. Cranston.
He did play in it. Cranston.
They're starting to get.
It.
They're starting to get back to.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it was the official All Star game. Because it's going to air. I think that's one of the reasons it got big.
All right. So did you put Jorge?
I think I just asked for this.
The Gavin Newsom stuff?
Yeah, there's some Gavin Newsom stuff floating around right now.
It's in my email, Jorge, yeah. That I sent to you. Did you guys put it in?
We didn't. I originally punted on the story, but now it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I thought you would take it because it's your buddy Alex Michelson that did the one-on-one.
I watched Alex's one-on-one with Gavin Newsom. It was fantastic.
Okay,
he went
so
to D.C. with
here's my question. UCLA and USC were offered. We were talking about this earlier in the show. One of those, so much money, you probably can't refuse it, to join the Big Ten.
Yes.
And it was like $100 million.
Yeah.
They're going to get like the very first time.
Fund all their programs, all that kind of stuff.
And because UCLA is a UC school.
Yes.
USC's private, so this really doesn't apply to them.
No.
But because UCLA is a UC school, they're part of the UC system, which is run by a board of regents.
Mm-hmm.
And as the governor of California, Gavin Newsom is the head of the regents.
Yes.
So Alex, our buddy from Channel 11, was interviewing him, and he said, hey, UCLA and USC are going to the Pac-12. And Newsom was... Or, yeah, going to the Big Ten, thank you. Leaving the Pac-12, going to the Big Ten. And Newsom was, you could tell, he was mad that nobody took the time to tell him. You got it, Jorge? All right, here's the exchange between Alex Michelson and Gavin Newsom.
UCLA is leaving the Pac-12.
I read about it.
Heading to the Big Ten.
I read about it.
Yeah, so they didn't tell you in advance.
I'm the governor, no big deal, I'm governor, state of California, but maybe a bigger deal is I'm chair of the UC Regents. No one. I read about it. Is it a good idea? Did we have a discuss the merits or demerits? Not aware that anyone did. So it was done in isolation. It was done without any regental oversight or support. It was done without any consideration, to my knowledge. Now, perhaps there was deep conversation with other presidents, or rather chancellors and presidents in the system, and the impact more broadly, not just to the UCs, but to other universities, including Stanford University and basically
UC
the
Berkeley.
Cascading system. I have strong opinions about this for no other reason that as a member of the regents, we were never consulted, never asked for an opinion, and then even the decency to provide heads up.
Hmm.
So trust me when I say this, we're not going to be looking into it. We already are looking into it within minutes after reading about this in the newspaper.
All right. So here's my question. Do UCLA and their chancellor and their president owe an explanation or a heads up to the rest of the schools they're leaving, or is there no way to do that? If you're about to leave your wife and you're breaking up, is there no good way to do it? What do you think?
Let's talk about it next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so we're just talking about this. Gavin Newsom, the governor, did an interview with our friend Alex Michaels, Alex Michelson from Channel 11, and one of the things that came up was the UCLA move to the Big Ten. And he's not happy with it. And a report from Front Office Sports today says California, led by Governor Gavin Newsom, is exploring legal options to block UCLA from leaving the Pac-12. Bruins allegedly didn't provide advance notice to the University of California Board of Regents, which governs the UC system. This does not affect USC, which is a private school.
Right.
It only affects UCLA.
Now, the question is, did UCLA owe a heads up?
Probably.
Well,
they're part of
let's look at it as if it were me and you. When you and I, you were working in San Diego,
yep.
I was working in a network, you had yet to sign your contract.
Correct.
And we got a better job offer to go do something else.
Yes.
So you left.
Yeah.
Did you give him a heads up? Or did you just come in and say, I'm leaving?
Came in and said, I'm leaving.
Okay. I don't blame you.
But because I had no contract. I had no agreement. I had nothing
right.
with those people.
I don't think UCLA does either. Because if they did, how could they leave?
Okay. But doesn't, and I'm not taking Newsom's side on this, but doesn't California pay for UCLA to actually exist?
No, I think the, like when I went to UCLA, I think my reg fees, I think the 38,000 students pay for UCLA. Now, they're part of the UC system, so you can transfer within the
system.
But doesn't
money from the system all go into the pool with UC Santa Barbara and UC Irvine and UC
I don't know the exact
schools?
I don't know the exact range on it. And by the way, that could still exist. We're just specifically talking about athletics.
Right.
UCLA's athletics money that they make from being the Rose Bowl or being in the NCAA tournament gets shared with the other 11 Pac-12 schools. Now, I don't necessarily think that UCLA gets kicked. Now, maybe Gavin Newsom will kick him out now because he's mad at him, but I don't think they get kicked out of the UC system just because their sports teams are going to the Big Ten. I think they would still be part of the system.
Yeah. Now, the one dynamic here that you didn't realize, and this is according to Deadline today, UCLA, as a university and as an athletic program, deeply in debt. UCLA is deeply in debt, according to reports.
Part of
says
that
Deadline.
Is the Under Armour deal. Under Armour paid them what at the time more money than any apparel company had ever paid,
right,
to sponsor all this, and then they backed out of the deal.
Oh, okay.
They have since negotiated a new deal with Jordan Brand, who is now the official. You know, they're owned by Nike, but the Jordan Brand is now the official apparel ambassador of UCLA, so they're going to eventually get that money back. But if they are deeply in debt, I think that lends itself to the reason why maybe UCLA jumped.
Yeah, I mean,
it gets them out of debt with one move.
Yeah, according to them, the school is in debt, according to reports, and many questions, increasing alignment of college sports, they're becoming more like minor leagues. Yeah, they are. They're becoming more like minor leagues to professional sports. Yeah, I don't think the state has any recourse here. I mean, UCLA's got to do for UCLA what's best. And what's best is this move and $100 million.
Yeah, what made me think of this was there's a lawsuit going on right now about the golfers, about whether or not the PGA is able to restrict or stifle competition. And it made me think of, and I know you're limited what you can say here,
yeah,
but it made me think of your old lawsuit. Because what you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
what you guys were doing was, it was a competition lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think UCLA should have the right to negotiate whatever the best deal they can get is.
Right. And that may involve sharing profit with other UC schools. That may be the game plan is if UCLA gets $100 million, they've got to share some of that money with the other schools that are part of the same system that they are.
Maybe. But, I mean, I think sports is changing.
Yes.
So I think what would made me think of the golfers.
Yes.
Was I don't think the PGA is going to be able to continue. I don't know if you followed what happened to the British Open this weekend, but they gave them like the worst possible tee times. They didn't put the live guys on TV until they absolutely had to. They didn't invite any of them to any of the functions. Like they didn't do press conferences. They basically gave them the middle finger.
Right.
And what the PGA has come out and said is you guys are banned from being part of our group as long as you're part of that group.
Yes, correct.
But, and this is what made me tie it to the UCLA thing, I think anybody should have the right, and this is a broader conversation, but you should be able to compete on an open playing field.
That's what they're doing.
Right.
But they're living with the consequences,
correct,
which is they're not welcome anymore on the PGA Tour.
Right.
In other words, if you agree to go there,
right,
you're not going to play in the PGA anymore.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But the majors have never been a part of the PGA Tour.
But did the British Open do it?
They let him in. They let him play. But they just treated him loudly.
Again, there's a price to pay for making the decision. I mean, right, there are ramifications, and those ramifications are being felt and will continue to be felt.
But I think if I'm the athletic director at UCLA or the chancellor at UCLA, my job is to do what's best for UCLA.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what they did.
Me too.
I think that's why I don't fault these golfers. And that's why we have lawsuits about competition all the time. You should be able to compete. And UCLA and USC are now found a better form of competition,
correct,
that can make them more money.
Yes.
And so
I think this is one where Newsom should just, I mean, maybe he's trying to leverage a deal where he gets money for all the other UC
schools
or whatever that is.
Yeah, there could be battles being fought that we don't know about.
It could be something like that. But in the end, UCLA is going to be in the Big Ten. And Gavin Newsom, maybe he'll extract a deal from them for other UC schools or whatever it is. But he's not going to prevent UCLA from going to the Pac-10 or the Big Ten.
Yeah, he can try.
He can try.
To make money.
It may just be negotiating.
Right. I think sports in general, and you're seeing it in golf, and you're seeing it with USC and UCLA, you're going to see schools and conferences try and better themselves.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be hard for governing bodies to block that, because everybody should have the right to shop their services to the highest bidder. And that's what they did. That's what UCLA did.
Yeah.
Now, if the Big Ten didn't want to take them, then okay.
Right.
So be it. But they did.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to believe that, despite what Gavin Newsom said, that UCLA is going to be in the Big Ten. It's just going to happen. And whether there's a negotiation, whether this is part of something bigger, I have no idea. He's the head of the – what is he? The head of the Board of Regents,
yeah,
or whatever that is?
As governor, you're automatically the head of the UC Regents.
Right. And probably they should.
Because it's the largest group of college students in the state.
And given that UCLA is the largest UC school, they probably should have consulted with, they could have avoided a lot of this by saying, hey, P.S., we know we're a UC school. We know that we're part of a larger system, but we're going to the Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, again, let's apply it to us. When you were going from San Diego to L.A.,
yeah,
why didn't you give them a heads up?
I didn't have an agreement.
No, but
I wasn't part of the board of mighty 1090 regions.
No. But what I think one of the reasons is, and you would have been right in thinking it, they didn't have a say in it.
Well, they didn't offer me a contract.
Right.
So if you're not offered a contract, there's no reason why you shouldn't leave.
Wasn't their side of that, though? They did offer you a contract. You just didn't sign it?
They didn't offer me a contract.
Oh, okay.
They never offered me a contract. No, they're idiots.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
I would have still been at 1090 probably if they had offered me a contract.
Then I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
But I think that the fact of the matter is that there are legal rules in this country about competition.
Yes.
And USC and UCLA have good lawyers and deep legal benches, and I'm sure they thought about this before they did it. And I think Gavin Newsom is almost like a jilted girlfriend, you know. Now,
yeah,
like,
I think so too.
They broke up with me.
I think so too.
Over it. Yeah.
All right, coming up next is Game of Games, Ireland. It's your game today.
It is my game. And
have you seen the scoreboard?
Well, Bergman's kind of running away with it.
Actually, Mason's not having a bad month.
Well,
current score, Bergman 4, Mason 3, Jorge 2, Ireland 1, Funch 1.
Okay, and I can't win today because it's my game.
Yeah.
All right, is it just the four of us playing?
Is somebody from the afternoon show going to play?
The Boo!
Cappy's going to be here. All right, that's all coming up next for you, Game of Games. And if you were at the game on Friday night, we'll definitely talk to Cappy about that. Came away short against Team Mace. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time, and it is John Ireland's game today. As I mentioned before we went to the commercial break there, it is Bergman, and it looks like a misprint, has won four times. I've won three. Jorge has won two. Ireland's won one. Funch has won one. And joining us right now to play the game is the captain of the losing team Friday night at the 7-10 All-Star Game, Cappy.
What's up,
the
Cap?
Love boat.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up,
all
man?
All right, so, guys, the Home Run Derby takes place tonight at Dodger Stadium. So I have a quiz about the Derby.
Okay.
It's multiple choice. There's a couple true or false in there.
Okay.
So here we go. Tonight's Home Run Derby at Dodger Stadium includes eight players, and they are all seeded. Who is the number one seed tonight? Is it A, Pete Alonso, B, Kyle Schwarber, or C, Corey Seager? Jorge, Alonso, Schwarber, or Seager?
I'll go with B.
You're going Schwarber. Bergman?
You'd think it'd be Alonso.
Okay, you're Mace.
Alonso.
Cap.
Schwarber.
Jorge and Cappy get the point. Really? Kyle Schwarber, who leads the major leagues in home runs, is the number one seed. He'll go up against Albert Pujols, who's the number eight seed in the first round. Alonso, by the way, is the favorite.
Yeah.
But Schwarber.
But not the number one seed.
Schwarber is the number one seed. Okay, so Jorge and Cap take the lead. All right. The first MLB Home Run Derby held the night before the All-Star Game happened in what year? Was it A, 1975? B, 1985, or C, 1995? Bergman, 75, 85, or 95?
Let's go with the middle 85.
All right, Mace.
Middle 85?
Cap.
I'm also going to go 85.
Jorge.
With the crowd, 85.
All correct. Jorge and Cap have two, Mace and Bergman one. All right, the inspiration for Home Run Derby came from a 1960 TV show when all the game's big stars came to L.A. in the offseason and competed in a derby. Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, and Hank Aaron were all in the show that had 26 episodes. How much money did the winner receive if he won an episode of the old Home Run Derby? Was it A, $1,000, B, $2,000, or C, $5,000? Mays, A, B, or C?
It's got to be at least $5,000.
All right, you're going C. Cap.
$1,000, A.
A, Jorge.
B, $2,000.
Bergman.
I'm with Cappy, $1,000.
Jorge takes the lead. $2,000 was the correct answer. Jorge, $3. Cap, was that, $2.
Was that the show, John, where out in left field there was like an awning from somebody's backyard behind that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
It was Wrigley Field. And the reason the show ended, and they had all the big names, in the Mays, Aaron, you know, all these dudes. The host died. The host
had
a heart attack and died, and he was the host, a guy named Mark Scott.
While he was doing the show?
Right after it aired.
Oh, wow.
So there was never a second season.
That's a rough gig, yeah.
Okay. Only one player has ever won three Home Run Derby titles. Is it A, Ken Griffey Jr., B, Barry Bonds, or C, Prince Fielder? Cap, Griffey, Bonds, or Fielder?
I'm going to go Griffey.
Jorge.
I'll go Bonds.
Greg.
I'm going to go Fielder.
Mace.
I'm with Greg. I'm going to go Fielder.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Damn, we're not doing well, Mace.
Is the answer.
Who takes the point?
Jorge's got three. Cap's got three. One each for Bergman and Mason.
We're not doing too well here, Mace.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Jorge at the top. Three different Angels have won the Home Run Derby. Wally Joyner, Vlad Guerrero, and Garrett Anderson. True or false, Jorge? No Dodger player has ever won the Derby.
True.
Greg.
They're typically terrible at it, but true.
Mace.
I'm going true.
Cap.
Because everybody went true, I'll go the other direction. I'll go false.
You should have gone with the crowd, Cap. No Dodger has ever won it. Now, guys who played for the Dodgers at one time but weren't not Dodgers that year
right,
have
right.
won it, but no Dodgers ever won it. Okay, so Jorge's got the lead.
Yeah.
When the Dodgers last hosted the All-Star Game, there was no Home Run Derby. That was in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So the most recent one held in our market came in 2010 when the Angels hosted the game. Who won the Home Run Derby in Anaheim in 2010? A, Robinson Cano. B, Justin Morneau. C, David Ortiz. Bergman, Cano, Morneau, or Ortiz?
Morneau was really good back then. Ortiz.
Okay, Mace.
I'm going Morneau.
Cap.
I'm going Big Poppy.
Jorge.
I'm going Robinson Cano.
You should have gone Big Poppy, Jorge. Kaplan has tied you. Okay.
So basically, it's Cappy 4, Jorge 4, me and Bergman kind of out of it.
Wait, I have three.
Griegen has three.
Oh, Bergman has three.
And this is the last one. So Mace, you're out.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'll make Jorge and Cap go first, Greg, so you have a puncher's chance.
Thank
all right.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these guys has never won the home run derby? A, Alex Rodriguez. B, Cal Ripken. C, Sammy Sosa. A-Rod, Ripken, or Sosa, Jorge?
Which one has never won it?
Never won it. Two of those three have won it. Which one's never won, Jorge? A-Rod, Ripken, or Sosa?
I'll go A-Rod.
Cap.
I'm going to go Cal Ripken.
Greg.
Man, I wanted to go A-Rod. He went Cal Ripken, so I have to go
Sosa.
Sosa, yeah. Yeah, I think he's won, though.
The correct answer is Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah,
and Jorge
Briones, Jorge,
is your winner.
Nice, Jorge.
All right,
you
we'll
got
play
three, right, Jorge? Two
three.
Or three?
Yeah, this one's my third one, yeah.
All right, we'll play the tiebreaker just for fun. The player who has hit the most home runs in a single home run derby is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Mm.
He did it in Cleveland in 2019. How many total home runs did Guerrero hit in that derby? So all four rounds put together. Greg, closest without going over.
Okay, so probably somewhere around 57.
Okay, Jorge.
You said all four rounds, right?
Yeah.
I'll say 75.
Cap.
76.
Mace.
One.
Your winner is Scott Kaplan.
Oh!
The answer is 91.
Oh, wow, nice
God.
Job.
He had 40 in one round.
He must have been so gassed at the end
of
that.
I bet.
So gassed.
All right. Speaking of gas, Cap, are you? Do you look at it as an opportunity lost that your team came up short on Friday night, or all in good fun? What the hell?
Yeah, I feel like all in all, I've never been involved in anything like we were involved with on Friday night. I mean, I've really, truly never seen anything quite like it before, where like 1,500 people would show up to see a bunch of radio slappies play a softball game that could have been unbelievably boring,
yep,
but turned into not only a great game where when you get to the last half of the last inning, it's a one-run game, and everybody can see what's going on here as the heart of the Mason order was coming to bat, and they'd already just teed off on me like I was pitching batting practice two innings earlier.
Yeah, we had the back-to-back-to-back home runs. That was Beto, Travis, and the new guy, Matt Burke. Now, here's what's been criticized. John's been very critical of me.
No, for one thing you did.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you won. But, Cap, I don't think you should ever take a walk in a softball game. Now, Mason blames you. Says you were like Ray Charles and you couldn't find the plate.
Well, you really were not close. You were going through a bad slog
Cap,
there,
would
Cappy.
Would you ever take a walk in a celebrity softball game?
I would never take a walk. But, John, hold on one second. Here's something you may not know. So early in the game, and just as a side note here, I want to wait until Sedano and I get on the air together.
Okay.
But I want to tell you guys, I'm not an excuse maker, okay?
Good.
But I've written a list of excuses.
Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah,
just
good.
In case I was an excuse maker, these would
like
be
it.
My excuses.
I like it. What are they?
One thing I want to say is that early in the game, there were opportunities for players to walk. True, I don't have a whole lot of experience pitching. I just thought I could get the ball over the plate, and I was just trying to, you know, put the ball in play. I thought that was the fun of it all. So early in the game, there were a couple of moments, John, where there could have been walks issued, but guess what happened? The batter stood there and said, I'm not walking. Oh, no, I'm not taking my base. In fact, I even hit
Brady Quinn.
Brady
Cates.
I hit Brady Cates in two at-bats.
Correct.
I know why you made that mistake.
We have an intern named Brady and an intern named Quinn.
Yeah, that's
so you
right.
said Brady
put him,
Quinn.
Put him together.
Yeah, you just put
right.
him together.
He's a fan of the
so,
old quarterback.
So,
yeah.
but
two times I hit Brady, and both times he refused to take his base. That is because the umpire was like a wrestling referee.
Okay, he was just there for show.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Couldn't call balls and strikes. And Mace, I mean, listen, you say I couldn't put the ball over the plate, but I gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs. Everybody else was hitting.
Right, but in that inning, Cappy, you'd kind of lost it because you had two walks in that inning. And by the way, if it was an option to just ignore the four balls, because I'm going to be as delicate as I can. You weren't close on at least when I was up.
I mean, there was nothing I could even swing at. I was really, really high.
You heard me say this, and I said it while I was pitching. Swing the bat. We are here to put on an exhibition.
There was nothing to hit.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, I'm with Cap on this. Can't take a walk in a softball game.
Mace, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Going into this event, you said you couldn't hit.
Correct.
You said, did I put one in your wheelhouse? Did you get a hit?
Yeah, I took one to the wall in the second inning.
So I'm finding ways to put the ball in your wheelhouse.
Correct.
To get you a hit. You could have very easily swung. Listen. I swung at pitches that weren't like, hey, I'm going to wait for my pitch. I swung at pretty much the first pitch.
In fairness, we had really good pitchers who've done it before. I mean, we had Ramona, who was, you know, a collegiate athlete, and we had Ron, who apparently was a beer league superstar. So we had guys that were throwing strikes.
Hey, Bergman, put up a poll. Ken, is it okay to take a walk in a celebrity softball game? I'm just curious how people feel about this.
Here's what I care about, the win. Here's what I care about, the win.
So if Cap would have walked four consecutive batters and that one, then walked in the winning run, you'd take it.
Mace, you soft.
I would totally take it. What do you mean? You're soft. Look, throw strikes. Are you kidding me?
Well, you notice what happened is in the early part of the game, everybody wanted the opportunity to hit. Now, Mace's big criticism last week of Clinton Yates was that Clinton was taking this game way too seriously.
Yes.
In the final analysis, the team that took it more seriously was Team Mace.
Completely agree. We took it far more seriously than you guys did.
No doubt. And listen, I hate to admit this. I really, really, really hate to admit this. But truth be told, the entire game was won and lost in the front office.
I agree.
As much as it pains me to say it, I was outmanaged.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When Mason got the two ringers in there, he completely flipped the favorite in the game. You were favored early, and then Mace adjusted his roster to make his team the favorite.
Here's the thing.
You know what you win? GM of the year.
I definitely should. I'm happy to award.
You also get wuss of the year for taking a walk.
Yeah.
Jorge, hit the stager.
KSPN AM 710 Los Angeles.
KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles.
K256CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in L.A. sports radio history. Radio history.
Oh, my God.
When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
It Bologna grows stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Sedano and Cap to join Mason in Ireland?
Super Crosstalk begins.
Super Crosstalk. Presented by Coors Light. Coors Light. Made to chill.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
All right, Super Crosstalk. I think for the first time we're at full strength. Shadano is here.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
I'm good. Sorry, I was almost late. I was doing the big corporate shindig for the Home Run Derby today for our company, Good Karma.
What does that mean?
Brands.
It's like a meeting, get together.
So they had a bunch of, they own a bunch of stations across the country.
Yep.
And a bunch of their partners, clients, teammates. We're all in town. They're going on a big bus to Dodger Stadium for the Home Run Derby.
Nice.
But they had a little lunch in Santa Monica at the Blue Plate Taco, I believe is the name of the place. It was delicious. And myself and Ashley Brewer from SportsCenter were there kind of emceeing the thing.
Very nice. So you missed the big game. It was a big night.
I saw all the highlights.
Did
so
you?
Now, can I have a moment here?
Oh, yeah, please.
Uh oh!
What's the Sedano sigh?
And a long sigh.
Uh oh! Here we go. What is it?
Let's just say your boy had a good night at the blackjack table one night. Okay, while I was there
in Vegas.
Correct.
Okay.
And I decided I'm going to let it ride on this softball game. And needless to say, Cappy let me down because he thought he was going to be Nolan Ryan and pitch nine innings in that one and gave up all the yams late in the game.
Yeah, now, that's actually an interesting point that he brings up, Cap. Why didn't you go to the bullpen when you walked back-to-back guys in the last inning?
Well, again, let me say, as much as it pains me to admit this, this is where I was outmanaged by Steve Mason. You see, Mace decided to go out and get a ringer, a guy who wound up hitting
a
home
run. He was very good at that.
Right, and he went out and got himself...
Who was the ringer?
Which one was the ringer?
Well, you got two ringers. You got Matt, who hit a home run.
Matt replaced Lindsey. Matt was killer, in left field.
And then you had Brady replace Ramona. Those are two huge upgrades.
He was a Division I tight end, that kid.
But the ringer was the pitcher. So you got two players to take over for Ramona. And one was a hitter and one was a pitcher. And so that is where I was outmanaged by Steve Mason. Now, on the other hand, I will admit this.
Like you're making excuses, though.
He prepared us for excuses.
I've got a list of excuses. I haven't even dug into them yet.
Okay.
We were also outcoached in this way, and this is the way it is.
Wait. Now, did you manage the team or did Clinton manage the team?
I was the manager. But Clinton was really the coach. So I was really more the general manager.
And okay, Clinton, so you're blaming Clinton is what it sounds like.
No, I'm
like
blaming
most organizations. The manager's a puppet, and the GM controls everything.
Clinton and I are a team. We're connected at the hip, and so I blame both of us. I was outmanaged because Mason went out and recruited additional talent.
Which was very smart.
Right. Clinton was outcoached, though, because Clinton was very much convinced that we didn't need more. I kept saying, Clinton, let's go out and get our own ringers. Let's go out and bring in some additional talent. And Clinton kept saying, no, we've got enough. So I was outmanaged and outmaneuvered
by
Mason.
Which, by the way, showed a lot of faith in the team.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Unlike Mason.
By the way, so you guys like putting up polls. So I asked Bergman to put up a poll. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to take a walk in a celebrity softball game? Because Mason took a walk.
Now, this is Bergman's timeline.
And so... Bergman writes, is it okay to take a walk in a celebrity softball game? Mason wants to put up his own poll, but listen to how shaded his wording is. Yeah. So again, Bergman's exact wording. Is it okay to take a walk in a celebrity softball game?
Yeah, very straightforward.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's Mason's wording in his poll. Is it okay to draw a walk in a celebrity softball game if the pitcher is giving you nothing to hit?
Oh, come on.
By the way, that poll, 61% say yes, it's okay if the pitcher isn't giving
anything
to hit.
Good thing you didn't shade it towards the result.
But, those polls are always flawed because you can, with the question, you can completely shade the answer.
No, Bergman's question is totally generic.
Right.
Bergman's is more accurate.
Bergman, what's yours running at, Bergman?
It's a 55% absolutely, 45% hell no.
So
you're actually still winning, so I don't know why you had to do that.
Bergman's poll.
Mace, I'm going to vote right now.
Okay.
I'm going to write in absolutely. I'm going to vote in absolutely.
Excellent.
Listen,
I'm
a firm believer that do what you can to win. Whatever it takes. Okay?
It means going out and finding additional talent that's not really originally on the roster.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, I know. Got to win. But it's win at all costs.
Right.
You and I have gone through a lot of iterations of rivalry, alliance, rivalry to I don't know what we are now. In the middle.
Yep.
Somewhere in the middle, I guess. But I'm with you on this one. I would have taken the walk, too. If it would have been given to me, if it was a 3-0 count and they threw nothing to hit, I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the base.
So when
in terms of this is from Joey, in terms of the hell no levels, taking a walk in a softball game is slightly below a hitter bunting when the pitcher's throwing a perfect game and slightly above bringing your own clubs to miniature golf.
That's great. That's a great line.
Well, that actually came from because he said the same thing about Clinton Yates. He was so serious about what he does that he brings his own golf clubs to a miniature golf course.
By the way, Clinton is a great player. He's a really – I was very
not
impressed.
Not great enough.
I was very impressed by your infield, Cappy. Mario was really good. Clinton was really good. You actually turned the one double play of the night, which I thought was really impressive.
I'm frankly, Cap, a little disappointed in my buddy Kurt Sandoval that he didn't sell out his body to save that ball from going out.
Let me tell you
something.
I think he did.
He looked like he did to me in that video that I saw. Regardless of the ending was fantastic, obviously, particularly for Team Mason. But if Sandoval makes that catch, it's also equally as entertaining and insane that would have been the way it ended.
Well, and by the way, that wouldn't have ended the game. There was nobody out. We had first and second nobody out when Beto hit the bomb. So it would have been Travis would have been the next batter.
So, no, what would happen is the runners would have tagged because Sandoval would have been lying flat on his back.
Yep.
And then you would have walked Travis to load the bases. And who was up after him?
Well, that's when I could get to
Matt Burke.
Well, that's not good.
You would have been toast, Cappy. Yeah. You would have been toast no matter what.
I was in big trouble.
Cappy, why
trouble.
Did you think you were Nolan Ryan? What happened there?
Yes, why did
well,
you
again, So again, we talk about being outmanaged, and I've already acknowledged that I was outmanaged by Mace because Mace went out and got a replacement pitcher.
But wait, your actual pitching.
But I'm going to explain. Here's why. So where we were outmanaged was we didn't pick up an additional pitcher, and where we were outcoached was we never planned for somebody pitching in relief.
Mm-hmm.
So therein lies the issue, George, Cappy, is that we never planned for it.
Wait a second.
We didn't have a team, man. We looked like the team. Clinton wanted to make it organized. Like, oh, let's stretch together, this and this. Once the game started, yeah, we gave high fives and complimented each other, like, good job, great hit, this and this. But we never talked about, oh, let's try to do this. We never had a really team.
No strategy.
No,
true.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's true.
No strategery, Cap.
Right. Yeah. I was out there, you know, like, for example, when Kirk Morrison came up for the third time, he had homered on two pitches. First pitch home runs, yeah. two in a row.
He did. He's Kirk Morrison.
So I go to Ron, who is, you know, like, Ron Mitchell, who's like our closer. Go to Ron, and I say, Ron, do
you
want to...
playing Inner Sandman?
Ron was... Okay. This was Ron. He was our closer. And he shut down Kirk Morrison. I said, wow. Do you want to pitch to him or do you want to put him on? He said, let me get him out. He got him out. Ron had that attitude, that spirit. Next year, he should be open for everybody's roster because Ron can play a little bit, as
well,
we found out.
Let me tell you guys a couple of things that I don't think we've gotten to yet that I want you guys to know. First and foremost, so the national anthem before the event.
Yeah, it was good.
Little did I know that Mace and I would be performing the national anthem. As a matter of fact, when they called us to come up to sing the national anthem, I looked at Mace, he looked at me, and I think Mace said something like, have you ever done this? And I was like, no, I haven't. And just as Mace was about to start, I went like, yo, man, you want to take your hat off or what?
Yeah, that's right. I had forgotten to take my hat off.
Right. And so Mace kind of goes, follow my lead. And I'm like, okay. So I just decided I was going to sing the national anthem as if I was in the stands singing the national anthem before a game. And Mace, as best I can tell, other than a couple of places where you decided you wanted to like do your own thing,
yep.
Generally speaking, I think it was a decent national anthem.
It was. Actually, what's weird is, because you were singing it straight on, I decided I would try to add a little harmony to the thing. And I actually think we got some harmony at one point. It was actually a really good national anthem. So from now on, Cappy and I sing the national anthem together.
We're a
he
duet.
Killed wow. it. I was so scared. I was like, because the one thing with the national anthem I always want to be is respectful, right?
No,
you can
I
have
know.
Fun,
right.
but you got to be respectful. Cappy, very respectful. You delivered the vocals. You knew the lyrics, which is a big part of it, and you wrote a lot. I thought you were fantastic on the anthem.
Well, I really just followed your lead, and like I said, I was just trying to be like a little bit underneath you, like pull the microphone a little further away. I wanted you to be the person who was leading the national anthem, and I was just your dance partner. But I'll tell you guys, here's where John Ireland and George Sedano come in as the big losers for not having been there. Now, look, it was John's birthday, and obviously he had things going on, and George was working for the company, so he was gone. You guys didn't get the greatest gift that we've ever gotten, okay? Clinton Yates had a friend who brought us all customized bats.
This is so cool.
Oh, I saw that. They followed me on social media.
They are so cool.
Yeah,
Kirk
so
Morrison.
So I'm guessing I could probably DM them and get one if I wanted.
Probably could. Probably could.
Probably could. Yeah.
But George, you these should. Bats are so cool because they had the 710 logo and the All Star logo.
John, you want me to DM them?
Names.
We can get one.
I'm good, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, these guys were. They
I actually,
were so awesome.
It is a really great piece. Whoever made those bats, do you know who it is, Cappy?
I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name. It'll come to me at some point.
But they were handmade for each of us. Yeah. I actually put mine directly on the mantle. I think it looks so friggin' cool.
Isn't it like Rutt? I think the
bat company was called. I have it here. I can get up and get it. But yeah, the gentleman he was from Kenya, and he had DM'd Clinton Yates saying, "Hey Clinton, I know we don't know each other, but man, I'm in this country and I do this with my hands." And he wound up telling Clinton this story, and Clinton connected him to a few people, and before you know it, the guy's in the bat business. And he flew out to L.A. for all the All-Star festivities, and he delivered the bats. And I'm telling you right now, the 10 different players were so flattered and honored to have gotten these bats. It was super cool.
The company's
By
called,
the way,
the company or the guy is called Rutto, R-U-T-T-O.
Rutto.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the name of the company.
So in the Sedano and Cap community, our pal Grant in L.A. has tweeted out a Photoshop of Steve Mace. It says Mace recruited his squad And it's, what's that Nick Nolte movie that he did, the basketball movie with Shaq and Penny Hardaway?
Blue Chips.
Yeah, it's Mason's head photoshopped on Nick Nolte's body with Shaq and Penny Hardaway.
What did we get, a tractor?
By the way, Andrew G tweets, I watched Mason walk and the pitches were high and very deep. He would have had to swing above his head. That is actually true.
Got
to
do what you
got to do.
That's
how Beto hit the home run, right?
That's what Kelly Leak did in the Bad News Bears. They tried to intentionally walk him, and he went deep.
Bartley Yee tweets, play by the rules of softball and take advantage of a pitcher that can't throw strikes.
Correct.
Yeah, but when you say can't throw strikes, I mean, Beto didn't have a problem swinging.
Because you threw him a strike.
No,
Beto hit one over his head for the home run. The
Jason Ray says, sure, why not? Ramona said it herself, taking the walk because we need base runners, and that's how Team Mace won. It is how we won. Base runners.
It's fine. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Cappy let us all down.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, but again.
Cappy was great.
He let us down.
I was better.
No, I did. I mean, our pitching stunk, and I acknowledge that. However, I will say this. I gave up 3 home runs in one inning. And then came back and kept my head on and got us out.
Another one.
I think the next inning, I think I went maybe 1-2-3. I made a couple of nice defensive plays as well, by the way.
On one leg?
On half a leg, you know, just because you saw me limping in, iced all day. If it wasn't for Dr. Clapper clearing me, I may not have been able to play.
I love that I jumped on with Dr. Clapper wanted to touch your tibia. Like, that was like, yeah. I jumped on the phone. And I'm not even joking. I'm calling from Vegas. There's like 5 minutes left in this game that I'm doing. So I got like, you know, maybe 10 minutes of being able to jump on the air. And I come on and all I hear is the first thing out of Dr. Clapper's mouth that I hear is, can I touch a tibia? And I'm like, well, I don't mean to interrupt people touching people's tibias, but here I am. Cappy. So Cappy, what does the leg feel like right now?
Oh, it's bad today. Like, you know, the energy that I was feeling, the pain on Thursday night, but knowing I had to play on Friday, but then once Friday comes to an end, it's just the next day, Saturday, Sunday. And by the way, I heard you guys talking earlier. I, too, was very sore. Running from home to first, that's all. Just running from home to first. Just that one sprint, which, by the way, you know, it's a sprint for me. It's like a fast walk for somebody else. I can't believe how sore I was on Saturday and Sunday.
What's funny about that is, so during the game, right, you're running on adrenaline because there are a lot of people there and you're trying to, be credible and all that stuff. So I felt nothing during the game, and I felt nothing like when I got to my car and heard Kershaw lose his perfect game. That was the very first thing I heard when I sat in my car, was him give up that hit and end the perfect game. But when I got out of my car at my house, I was so sore I had trouble walking up the stairs. I really did. It was, and Saturday, we went to the Keyshawn party, which was spectacular. Thank you, Keyshawn, for the invitation. Great party, great food, all that stuff. But I finally said, you know, after about 2 hours, I'm like, I can't stand anymore.
Oh my goodness, you were that sore.
I can't even stand.
Now, Mace,
really,
did you tell Ireland, because you prepared us in advance, that you were not a very good outfielder?
I was not.
Guys, I hit a pop-up that is just a complete routine fly ball. And it dropped right in front of Mace. Like, he did not have to move.
He did not want to dive.
I did not want to
dive.
I didn't want to dive.
You didn't even have to move. Nah. You had to put your glove out.
Yeah, this is a guy that takes walks. I mean, come on.
By the way, I'd like to see the video of that. Here's the weird thing. So I don't even remember the play. I know the ball was hit my way. I know I didn't catch it. I knew I threw it back into Ramona and made a pretty good throw to hold. I think I held you to a single, didn't I?
You did.
But I don't remember the exact play. I just remember not wanting the ball to get by me. My play.
I just wish you would have come to the after party. You know, we went
to
a place.
Invited, Cappy.
You were invited. Everybody was invited.
Nobody invited me.
We went to a place called the Sunset Room in Hacienda Heights.
Yeah, I heard about this.
This was Jorge's cousin's place. Guys, I walked in and I said, hey, I just got to get something to eat if you guys don't mind. Can I order a burger? And they're like, yeah. And I just figured like a regular little burger is going to come out of this place. I'm telling you that the Sunset Room in Hacienda Heights, I'll put it up. You ready? It is a top 10, bordering on a top 5 burger that you will find anywhere. Unbelievable. Out of this world, insanity burger. I never would have expected. I thought this little thing would come out. I just have a little munch. This thing was so bomb.
You know a lot about a little thing?
I know a lot about a great burger. That I know. I know, George Sedano.
I'm just asking. I mean, if we could call Rachel, so I'm just wondering.
Hey,
listen, I don't know what she'll say about that. We should call her.
We're going to wrap. I'm still sore, so I got to go home and ice. I got to ice this whole thing.
Why is Vogel trending? What happened here? Hold on. I'm looking on Twitter.
Frank Vogel is trending?
It just says Vogel.
Vogel.
I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't seem like anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll tell you guys right now that my list of excuses.
Yep.
All my excuses as to why we lost are all on the way.
Okay, good. Good. Stay tuned for that. There's a sigh, so you know what the show's going to be like. Yeah. Excuses and a sigh.
Yeah, quick show today. You guys are leading up to the Derby, right?
Only an hour today and tomorrow.
Before we go, I want to wish Laura a happy birthday. Congratulations. Okay. Happy birthday. Sorry I missed the party. I wasn't invited. All right. Back tomorrow at 1. Coming up next for you is a mini power hour of Shidano and Cap as we work our way to the All-Star Home Run Derby. We're back tomorrow at 1, 710 ESPN.